I believe every one of us here tonight would say that Jesus loved God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and might. There'll be no doubt, no controversy about it. So look at John the 13th chapter. John the 13th chapter. It's fascinating. If you see this scene, you will see a basin of water and a towel. You see the picture and the basin. You see the picture of water. And you'll see a towel. And you'll see the place where the dinner is going to be partaken of, and the low-lying table. And here in this particular upper room, you're seeing all the disciples. And Jesus will wash their feet. It's amazing that he's the one who rises up from the table to serve. They all could have done it, but none of them will do it. They all should have done it, but none of them are going to do it. And there's a reason why they're not going to do it. And the reason is they're too full of pride. I like to say it another way. They're too full of themselves. That's why they're not going to get up and do it. They know it needs to be done. They know someone should do it, but I'm not going to be the one to do it. Because you see, I am going to have one of the chief seats in the kingdom of God. I'm not going to do it because I've just been arguing with these guys, and we've all been in a fuss about who's going to have the chief seat. Or maybe a part of their argument is, who's going to recline next to Jesus at the supper? The ones we believe may have reclined against Jesus' breast, so to speak, might have been John, the disciple whom he loved, and maybe Judas. But here, they've been in a squabble. Now, I can only imagine what it'd be like to have that in my heart, and we're reclining around that supper table, and all the things that are going on, and here's Jesus. He rises up, and he goes over, and he fills that basin with water, and he girds himself with a towel, and he comes over, and he begins to wash their feet. But tonight, true love serves. True love serves. When you really love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you will serve. And then there's Judas, the one who supped with him in the bowl as the Lord instituted the Last Supper. Here is one who will betray him, who will leave the scene from this table and betray him. But there he is. If you can see him with the towel and the bowl of the water and their feet, and he's washing Judas' feet. True love serves no matter who. Who are you going to see this week? Doesn't matter. The most vile sinner, the most delightful saint, doesn't matter. True love serves no matter who. Jesus served you. He did for you what you could not do for yourself. He served the likes of you and the likes of me. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners. He served you. Serve others. It doesn't matter who they are. As you have opportunity to do good to all men, we're for serving our brothers and sisters, but we're also for serving all men. That's what the Holy Spirit says. Galatians 6. It doesn't matter who. Serve them. Now, I have a question for you. How is it that Jesus was able to stoop down and wash Peter's feet, knowing what he was going to do, and stoop down and wash Judas' feet, knowing that he was going to sell him out for 30 pieces of silver? And he could wash all their feet, knowing all of them would forsake him that night. How is it he's able to wash their feet? I believe I know the answer, a part of it. As he looked into the eyes of Judas, I don't believe that he was seeing Judas as much as he was seeing what his father had put in Judas. And in Peter, what his father had put in Peter. And as you see these people you're serving this week, and I don't know from what walk of life they've come. I don't know how checkered their past might be. I don't know anything about these people you'll be serving. Just this, that God gave them life. He put in them a soul, a spirit that'll never die. He said, let us make them in our image and after our likeness. And God had a dream for their life. He had a plan for their life, just like he has for you. And he still has not given up. And he will not give up. And I'll mention Danny again next Sunday, but Danny Braswell, baptized here on Thursday morning. God has a plan for his life. And Bailey, baptized here this morning. And she's 12 years old. God has a plan for her life. God doesn't give up. So he doesn't want his servants to go out and give up. And when you see someone, doesn't matter who they are, see what God has put within them and allow yourself to be a call through you to them to bring what God has put in them out. Bring it forth. Let God's dream for their life come true. Serving is a way to do that. So, true love serves. And here's why it serves. Because of a humble heart. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. He was meek and lowly in heart. That's Jesus. The King of kings, the Lord of lords. But he was meek and lowly in heart. He could do the menial task, as we would see it, of washing the feet. And true love serves because you see in the person you're serving God, what he's put there. And what he yet wants to happen. True love serves. I was thinking about a little ball player. A little guy whose dream came true. And it's so interesting to read this article out of the Huntsville Times. 10 years ago this month in Roanoke, Virginia, a little red-headed 10-year-old boy named Andrew stepped to the plate. There was two on and two out. He's our nephew, and he has hydrocephalus. The article goes on to say, Andrew had endured much in his life. And he had handled the hand that was dealt him and played it for all it was worth. He loved his mom, he loves pizza, and he loves the Atlanta Braves, and not necessarily in that order. He had already struck out twice that night. So he took one pitch, call strike. And then he swung at a second, strike two. And as the story goes, the center fielder started picking dandelions. And the whole opposing team relaxed. But the opposing coach saw something in Andrew's eye. And he called to him, look alive out there, he's going to do something. And just then, when the pitcher made that pitch, and you heard the crack of that bat. Before that dandelion center fielder could get the ball back to the circle, Andrew had well rounded third, past the halfway mark, and he was coming home for a home run. The article goes on to say, he dared to dream in that field of dreams. I'll never forget, his uncle writes, the look of pure joy on that boy's face. And I'll never forget the sight of my oldest son who was sitting on the bench with Andrew's team screaming, "Run, Andrew, run!" And then hugging and high-fiving his cousin afterwards. It only takes a few of those moments to make a boy's life. And you carry that memory until the day you die. And for Andrew, it was only 7 months later. He succumbed to complications of his illness and he was gone. Hundreds convened on that New Year's Day, 1999, and mourned his death. But we celebrated. We celebrated that home run and other great feats of a life of difficulty that was turned into a life of triumph. A life of difficulty turned into a life of triumph. God has not brought you to this town and to this place without a purpose, without a mission. And I firmly believe that young people can be the conduits of the gospel better than anyone else. There's someone waiting for you. They want to see the smile, even though your sweat is falling down from your face. And you've worked already all day and it's been hot and long. But they see that greeting. They feel that touch. And they see someone is living through you. Who would come tonight? Come to Jesus. Come and take up the towel. Who would come and be immersed into Christ? Be united with Him. An act of submission. Who would place a faith and trust in Him for the rest of their lives, confessing that faith and being baptized tonight? While we stand, Jay's going to listen to a song.